We have Elder Morrison from the General Conference, who's in the publishing business and the literature evangelism in charge, and we would like to welcome him to our pulpit here and to our church. I know he's happy to be here today.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath. Wow, this is your first Sabbath in this church. I feel special. I haven't felt special in a long time, but I feel special. This is beautiful. What a blessing the Lord has given you. And all because of your faithfulness, amen? You know, how many of you have been out just sharing Jesus? And you know, we don't have to say sometimes anything. Sometimes we just, the way we act. You know, everybody says we got to be peculiar. Guess what? You're peculiar because you love Jesus, amen? And you stand up for the truth. And let's pray. Father, again, we come before you. Pray unceasingly, Lord, in our minds, that, Lord, we stay close to you, Jesus. May this message be a message of encouragement and strength to your precious children here in Aiken. That, Lord, myself, we all need encouragement in these days of just the bitterness that's out there in the world. But, Lord, help us to bring hope and light and love to these folks. And we can only do that through the written word, through our Savior Jesus. And we ask that you be with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, being a literature evangelist, you can see some of the things that we're doing. I didn't know if you knew about literature work, but, you know, they've made some changes recently. And I don't know if you knew that. You know, first off, I don't know if you knew about the Review and Herald. You know, it closed. It literally shut down, which was a sad day. I was there at the vote when Elder Wilson was there, and I guess we only have one publishing house in all of North America now. You know, and we're sad about that. There's still a publishing house. I guess technically the Review and Herald name is still down at GC, and they may or may not be printing some things, but there's nothing directly with our outreach, publishing, literature ministry, so I want to be careful what I say there. But at the same time, we had to regroup because Review and Herald was closed. Well, we had the Pacific Press, right? Well, you know how much it costs to ship things from the West Coast to here to the Southern Union? A lot of money. And we said, well, what are we gonna do? So the next thing we know, the HHES, they decided to close them down. That was about 4 years ago. We said, Lord, where are you leading this publishing work? Let me read this to you. Oh, I'm not supposed to leave the platform, sorry. It says in Testimonies, Volume 6, how many love Spirit of Prophecy? How many know it's the truth? How many follow it? And, you know, as best we can, we're all learning on certain areas. But it says, as long as probation continues, there will be opportunity for the canvasser to work. Written 100 years ago. So how does the Review and Herald close? HHES, which is our finance and storage of our books, closes. They sent our manager of HHES out to Southern California. His name's Jim Wilson. We said, Lord, what are we all going to be independent today? Which we were fine with that. We had about 10 full-time LEs in the Carolinas. 10. We said, all right, Lord, I guess we're going to have to learn how to buy our books, price them, and go out and distribute them. So next thing you know, Georgia Cumberland gets together with their leadership, and they finance and reestablish a new HHES. So we still have the HHES going as of 4 years ago. It technically reopened after about 2 or 3 months of being closed. And Jim Wilson, who went to Southern California, had an apartment, him and his wife, came back to the HHES. And it was really a miracle. And, you know, I'm probably not explaining it in a way that you understand, but it's really a miracle that we have a financial institution left to go out and sell our new books. These are our new Bible stories. You know, the blue ones are still around. The The only concern we had about the blue Bible stories for Maxwell, they've been around 60 years. And guess what? There's thousands upon thousands, probably 10,000 sets out there. And guess where they're found? They're found on the Amazon.com or whatever. They're found on, you know, wherever you could buy something, you could find those sets of books. And we were selling the blue Bible stories for $4.28, and you could buy them for $200. So that didn't look good for us, did it? So we had to come up with something different. There was no controlling the blue ones. Remnant Publications put these together for us a year ago in February. They're about 13 months old. There's 7 volumes, 280 stories. They follow the Bible, King James, every story, scripture reference, and the conflict series. Patriarchs and Prophets, Prophets and Kings. It tells you the story for the children, where to go to the conflict series for the older children to read it. And then it's got a QR code, and I wish I brought my book, but it's a little smartphone QR code that you zap it, and it'll bring up the story and read it to you and have the sound effects. So we feel like the Lord led us with a new set of Bible stories. Same message, not a new Bible, but a new Bible stories. And they are going for, and I know it's Sabbath, but they're going for half price of what the blue ones were. And we're so thrilled. And they're only found through literature evangelists. That's the other good thing. So someone can't get them and sell them for $50 or whatever. Give them away for free. But anyway, we wouldn't mind doing that. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you, the other thing I wanted to share with you, Family Home Christian Books, where I read about the canvassing work will go to the close of probation. That is a new website for non-Adventists. You know, have you ever tried to refer someone to the Adventist bookstore, you know, website? And as soon as they say Seventh-day Adventist, you know, they kind of, you could tell their face, you know, they lose interest. And they're like, oh, Adventist. Well, this is made for non-Adventist. It is a Family Home Christian Books, so they can go on there, find books they need, and they receive the truth, and sometimes they will reject it if they knew it was Adventist, but they'll get the books and then follow the truth. So that's something that we can do right here. It is found in all of North America. So people in Washington State, Ohio, Texas can do the Family Home Christian Books and be a literature evangelist. And we have them all over. They're even in South America, this website, Central America, and even parts of Europe. So they're going all over the world, this website. So we're excited about how God is leading publishing, amen? Because it's going to go to the end. Now the last thing is for us here in the Carolinas. You read over there. Do you know what GLOW stands for? Anybody know what GLOW is? It's Giving Light to Our World. And the GLOW tracks. Have you seen the GLOW tracks yet? They are in about 20 different titles. They give a message. This one, the title is The End of the World. There's Economic Crisis in Your Future. And these are what we're wanting to mobilize all of our church members to be a part of giving this out everywhere you go. And we ask each church to buy a stand. I have a stand on the table out there. It holds 12 different titles, and you can get them right through the ABC, right through the ACBC, sorry. Not the ABC, but I call it the ABC up north. We don't have ABCs like down here, but ACBC. And we encourage everyone. And then the one announcement that I wanted to make, forgot, is this afternoon at 2 o'clock, we're going to have an instruction about GLOW tracks. It was supposed to be in the bulletin, and I guess my secretary sent it, and it didn't come through or something. But if you want to come here at 2 o'clock, I'm going to go over how and some of the questions, some of the fears, some of the things you want to learn. But be here right after potluck, 1:45, 2 o'clock, and I'd like to share with you about how GLOW can be a part of your everyday ministry. I don't care if you're at work, play, vacation. This can be carried around and distributed. And you know, we're supposed to leave these like the leaves of autumn, aren't we? The truth-filled literature. And that's what GLOW is all about. You can bring light into a life of darkness. Amen? Well, that's where publishing is right now. And I thought I'd share with you. Right now in the Carolinas, we have about 7 full-time literature evangelists. We're praying for a literature evangelist here in Aiken. We'd love to have a full-time. We're looking for someone in Columbia. We're praying for someone in Charlotte. And you notice I mentioned some big cities. Because you know what Mrs. White says in the last days? What's the first places that are going to close down? You know, the big cities, aren't they? And let me tell you something. As soon as that martial law hits, we'll have to go in there with different avenues of reaching the people with our literature. And it won't be so, the freedom won't be there that we have. So anyway, just pray if you know anyone that's interested. We have a wonderful program. It's a wonderful way to work full time and make a living and witness for the Lord through our literature evangelist work. So let me read you a couple things. And, you know, I'd like to share with you Isaiah 26:3. Just to read it a little slower. You know, I love how it starts out in verse 3. It says, you, and the you is capitalized. And that means God. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace. God will keep us in perfect peace. How does he do that? Whose mind is stayed on you. So if we keep our mind stayed on who? Stayed on the troubles of the world? You know, we won't pass out literature, will we? We'll be too afraid. You know, I had a guy, let me tell you a couple experiences real quick, and then I'll finish this verse. You know, I had a guy, I passed it out to him, and I was walking into Walmart, or I was walking out, one of the two. And I said, hey, I do a small ministry. I'd like to give you a piece of literature. And it was actually this one, Economic Crisis. And I read the title to him. And he goes, oh, no. He goes, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I said, that's all right. We're all concerned about our money, aren't we? No. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. So not everybody receives our literature. Amen. But the nice thing about this, you say, well, you know, I don't want to talk to people. You know, you don't want to be rejected. Well, let me answer first the rejection. Number one, when you're rejected, when you're witnessing, who are they rejecting? They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting Jesus because when you pray before you go out to go to the grocery store and you meet someone and you're able to talk about Jesus, or I'd like to encourage you, take a glow track, and I'll leave some here on the table for you all. And I encourage each and every one of us to take a glow track, pray about it, and ask the Lord to lead you to a person that needs that track. Or if you don't want to talk to someone, guess where you can put it? Next time you eat out, right with the tip, just leave it right there with the when you pay the bill. You know, when you go in the bathroom, just leave it right on top of the dryer. You know, when the next time you go in to get gas or, you know, wherever you go, you know, leave it with the young lady. Here's what I say to everyone I give a literature to. I say, hi, I'm Lance. I said, I do a little ministry. I'd like to share this with you. And whatever the title is, there's a gift for you, why I go to church on Saturday, blah, blah, blah. And they say, oh, and I say, oh, the end of the world. I said, yeah, it sounds pretty bad, but I said, it's got a happy ending, you know. And if they kind of crinkle their eyebrow or something, I've been reading people for a long time, you know, I'll kind of say, you know, it's all about Jesus. It's taken from the King James Version of the Bible. So I make sure that it's known that it's Christian, that we are pushing church, but we're not pushing church, if you understand, as a literature evangelist. I'm pushing Bible study. I'm pushing people to love Jesus. And they'll find the truth if they truly open up their hearts and their hearts are soft. Amen? That's why we're here. Amen? And maybe I'm preaching to the choir, you know, but we need to fill up these seats, don't we? Amen. You had it pretty full over there at the other church. I visited there before. It was a nice church. I loved it. But now you've got work to do. You just got done with the church work. Now you've got outreach to do. And I want to encourage you to come back at 2 o'clock and hear about the glow tracks, if you can. Let's finish reading Isaiah 26, a song of salvation. It says, we said, you will keep him in perfect peace. God is the only one to keep us in peace. Amen. Have you ever had that peace? I've had it. I hate to say it. I've had it every once in a while. I mean, that perfect peace where everything just seems so quiet. And I'm going to read from Spirit of Prophecy here in a minute. She uses the word quietude. And then verse 2, it says, whose mind is stayed on you. That's when we have that peace, don't we? When we're stayed on him, we're not worried about, oh, my son or my daughter or my grandchildren, what are they doing, you know, or my children. Anyway, and then verse 3, it says, because he, us, trust in you. Amen. How's that trust come? Well, obviously, you all know. You've been following the Lord for many years. There may be some new people here. But it comes from studying God's word. But is that the only thing you do? Study God's word? That's it? Nothing else? Amen. Pray. Amen. You got to pray. Only the Holy Spirit wrote this, so only the Holy Spirit can help you understand it. But let me tell you my simple example. You have a little pond, and I heard this from a preacher a long time ago, 30 years ago. And he says, you have the inlet to the water, but you have no outlet. And that inlet is what? Bible study, prayer, the Holy Spirit. And if you have that inlet to the water and no outlet, what happens to that water right there? I hate to say that. Stale, it becomes stagnant. The green moss grows over the top, and it kind of, who wants to be around that? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're not all happy Christians. We are. Hopefully we got a smile on our face because Jesus did, Now, he wasn't happy when they were trying to trick him or, push him over the cliff. He wasn't smiling then. But, when he was witnessing of his Father, he was smiling. Amen? We got to be joyful when we're talking to people about Jesus, even if they're sad. And then let's say you have the pond of water, a little body of water, and you don't have the inlet, but you have just an outlet. You're constantly doing for the Lord. What happens to that water? It dries up, doesn't it? It's real simple. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say something here that's going to be, wow, where'd he come up? It's real simple. It dries up. So how do you stay fresh? How do you stay excited about your walk with Jesus, even if you've been here for a year, for 5 years, for 30 years? There's no privileges for following Jesus a long time, is there? Remember the field? When they came in the last hour, they got the same amount of money as people been there all day in the hot sun. And they kind of complained about it. But how do you not care about when people come in or how they come in? You keep that body of water fresh. Do the study. Have your study. Don't skip a day or two here like I do. Every once in a while I do. I get up late. I'm rushing out the door. Next thing I'm having prayer in my car and that's all I do. That's not the way to do it. And I try not to do that. But I'm just telling you facts that sometimes I oversleep. I'm a little older. I like to sleep nowadays instead of getting up. But anyway, my point is, make sure you have your worship so then Jesus can use you to witness. When's the last time you witnessed? And you know what? We don't have to talk about literature. You open a door for somebody. Amen? You pick something up for someone. And I know it comes natural for us as Christians. But those are the things you're witnessing for every day. But how neat if you could do this, brothers and sisters. Hey, by the way, I just want to give you this little track as you pick up that can that she dropped. Or you help some elderly person to whatever, which I'm there too. Or you're helping them. Hey, let me give you this neat track. I think you'll enjoy it. And there's a place for more of them. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you could do that? You don't have to carry the big books, or have a big stack of books in your car. You can carry these. They even have glow track holders. They're plastic holders so they don't get all dog-eared and, water on them and stuff. And so they look new. They look attractive. All right. Now we're going to take verse 3 and we're going to read it from the Desire of Ages. Here's what Mrs. White says about verse 3. And forgive me, some of these words I had to look up the definition. I didn't know what they meant. And she's only got a third grade education. Yes, on this world. But you know what? She had had a precious, vast amount of knowledge she was getting from the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because I tell you, people are still figuring out her writings. Amen? And there's more to learn. There's more to learn. But guess what? And I'm guilty of it too. I'm not pointing fingers. He's not going to give us more light until we live up to the light we have. Amen? That's what we all got to do. We've got to live up to that. And then there's more. There's a lot more. Here in Desire of Ages, from verse 3 alone, she says, untangling our lives. How many got tangled lives out there? My children, my grandchildren. Those who take Christ at his word and surrender their souls to his keeping, their lives to his ordering, will find peace and quietude. Remember I said about that peace earlier? That quietude, it comes every once in a while. It's just so precious that the Holy Spirit's there. And many times when that happens, I break down and cry because I realize I'm not worthy. And I realize that he's allowing me in his presence and he's teaching me. And brothers and sisters, I hate to call you special, but you're a special breed. You're a special calling. You're a remnant people that God has called you for a message. There's not been given more knowledge about eternal things ever in the history of this earth than what's given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Does that not excite you? I'm like, wow, that is precious. And our health message, let me tell you a little tidbit about what I feel the health message is. And I know you probably already know this, but you know, I like my friend, when we sell the books, they're called Foods and Their Healing Power, 1,200 pages that tell you, take your food and make it into medicine. And we've got those available too. He says to our customers or our people looking into them, he says, there's good, better, and best. And don't get me wrong, some of you might be vegans out there, you know, but that best sometimes scares me because I look at them and I said, they don't look so healthy. But you know, you got to know what you're doing. That's all I can say. Not that I look healthy, but the point is, there's good, better, and best. So don't judge anybody. Let's encourage them in their walk and the health message. Anyway, my point about bringing up the health message is this. It's a precious message, amen? 150, 130 years ago, she wrote it. People are just now turning to vegetarian, realizing all the chemical, realizing, you know, this and that. And this is why it was given to us. Let me tell you this little tidbit, and you probably already know it, some of you, is the mind, when we say the heart, God speaks to our heart, he's speaking to the frontal lobe, he's speaking to the Holy Spirit, speaks to the brain, and guess what the health message does for that brain? It can keep it crystal clear so you can hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, John, hey, Mary, give that to that lady over there. It won't be verbal. It's just a little impression. And let me tell you an experience. I'm sorry, I'm a literature evangelist. I'm going to tell you a lot of experiences. I still got time. It's not even noon yet. And we go to 1 o'clock, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I went up to a little place at a golf course. And I was ordering a soda. And the guy says to me and my friend, he goes, why don't you have a beer? And in my 30 years, no one's ever offered me a beer except for my family who's not in the church. And I always had to tell him, you know, I don't drink beer. And anyway, the guy goes, why don't you drink beer? Why don't you have a beer? And I said, because we don't drink. Why not? I said, it's bad for you. It is. You know, and he's working a golf course. It's all about gambling and drinking and blah, blah, blah. It can be bad, but it's also a nice, you know, R&R for, you know, getting away from things. But anyway, I said, no, it can hurt your liver, you know, blah, 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 the alcohol, it's a depressant. He goes, oh, okay. And then I said, you know, a lot of people that don't drink, they're vegetarians. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, why is that? And anyway, I went into, you know, there's a lot of growth hormones. We're not against meat, but just the way they have to produce so much, it's not as healthy as it used to be. I said, we're not against it. It's just not that good for you. And a vegetarian diet can extend your life. And he goes, oh, okay. So I was leaving. And as I got to the door, he goes, the world is really a crazy place, isn't it? And I said, yes, sir, it is. He was a young man. Everybody's young to me now. You know, I used to be the young man. Now I'm the guy going, wow, these are young people in here. Praise the Lord. But anyway, so he's a young man, probably in his early 30s. I go out to the car. And as I'm walking out to my car, guess what I'm impressed with? I didn't hear it, but it just said, give him some literature. So I go out the car, and my friend and I, we talk for about 10 minutes. And then that impression was before I got out there, and I didn't say anything to my friend. I might have. I said, hey, I'm going to go give him literature. So we talked for about 5 or 10 minutes. Then I get in my car, and I look at my emails, and I've got an email I got to take care of. I make a phone call. And anyway, I do about 3 or 4 things. About 15 more minutes goes by. Guess what that impression feels like now? Yeah, you know. I ain't got to do it. You know, I'm busy. I got to go. But something just made me get out of the car. Okay. And it reminded me, go give him some literature. I said, okay. So I get in my trunk. I grab some glow tracks. I grab a Steps to Christ. I grab a Bible study. And I think, I don't know if I had a great controversy. But anyway, so I go back into the golf pro shop. And he's standing, instead of being at the cafeteria, whatever, he's standing by the pro shop, and I said, hey, you said the world is a crazy place, and I showed him the steps of Christ. He goes, hold on, wait. He goes, don't worry. He goes, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. He's the center of my life. And I said, okay. I said, hey, you can learn more. I said, this is a beautiful book. I said, it's translated in like 130 or 40 languages. It's the most translated book ever next to the Bible. Remember that, brothers and sisters. That's pretty awesome. You know, the most translated book next to the Bible in the whole world. And I said, hey, it'll help you grow. So he took the literature, just not even a and then we start talking. We talked about, you know, some of the bad news going on around here. And he goes, hey, by the way, you know, he'd already told me he's a Christian. He goes, oh, by the way, he goes, I don't drink anymore. I gave up drinking about 4 months ago. So why did he ask me that question about having a beer? He wanted to see if somebody else wasn't drinking too or whatever. The Holy Spirit was working with him because it was an odd question. I mean, I've been at golf courses all my life. And, you know, since I've been when I asked for a soda or a juice or a water, I've never been asked to have a beer. That was the first time ever when I go in and out of golf courses. So there was a reason. The man goes, oh, I don't drink anymore. I gave it up. I said, doesn't things seem better? Yeah. And I said, you'll be so happy you don't, blah, blah, blah. I told him about my brother being an alcoholic. And anyway, long story short, we're going back. He's got a customer. So we go back to the cafeteria, and he goes, hey, is your information in here? I said, yeah, there's information. You get the tracks. So he goes, no, your name and number. So anyway, I give him my name and number, and we leave there. You know, there's no follow-up because I'll go back to the golf course maybe and see him. But if he wants to call me, he hasn't called me yet. But that's how the impressions will go, brothers and sisters. You can either get busy, and nothing wrong with that, but I encourage you, as soon as you hear that impression, as soon as you have the courage, here's something else, you got to be courageous. I said, is it easy to pass that track out to somebody you don't know? No, because you might be rejected like the Jehovah's Witness. Who cares? You know, that's the way I look at it. I'm sorry, I've been doing it 30 years, you know, in the church, but 22 as a literature evangelist. You know, they're rejecting Jesus. You're trying. But so many are so happy. I was at the bank, and I said, hey, I want to give this to you. And I slid it in the little window there, you know, and the lady opens it, and, you know, she's like, hey, and then another two ladies look over her shoulder. You got one for me? You got one for me? So I gave them three more through the little drawer. So people get excited. You know, you're standing in line at Walmart or grocery store or wherever, Target. You know, just kind of say, hey, I want to give you something. Have you ever, this is about the end of the world. You don't even have to say anything. And they'll either accept it or won't. 9.5 times out of 10, they accept it. They really do. And what a great feeling. When you go home and study that night, guess what? You're going to be saying, I lived this today. I didn't just read it. I became subjective to it. Amen? Because we're all objective. Oh, Peter, you know, what a mess Peter is. We love Peter, don't we? Referring to him in the Bible. What a great study. Amen? Peter was my favorite character as soon as I came out of the Catholic Church. I was like, man, I'm like Peter. Wow, I want to jump before I know what I'm doing. And anyway, God's been patient. But, you know, we all have our different ways. And you know, you don't have to quit or stop doing something to be a literature evangelist. But you can incorporate it no matter where you go. And that's what I'm here for, to encourage you to spread this like the leaves of autumn. Because guess what the title of the sermon is? Ready or not, Jesus is coming. Let me read you something here, and I'll get back to the Bible scripture. This is taken, and I made sure it was factual. Amazing Facts sent this out. And it's about the European Union. You know, they're about to collapse, you know, financially. And I don't know if you've read this, but let me find it. My wife sends me a lot of texts for getting groceries, but she sent this to me from her sister, and it is from European Union leaders will turn to the Pope over plans to revive struggling bloc. Wow, that's like reading the Great How many have read the Great Controversy lately? Okay, you've read it, I understand, but I want to encourage you, read it again right now. I want to encourage you for a little homework. Read the Great Controversy. This is just like reading out of the Great Controversy, parts of it. Let me just read real quickly. It says, as reported by Nick Guthridge, Brussels correspondent writing for The Express, EU leaders are set to hold a historic meeting with the Pope later this month. And that was like 5 days ago, March 24th, a week ago. It says, to unveil their make-or-break plans to revive the struggling EU. Brussels chiefs are hoping the pontiff can provide them with the leadership they're lacking to help solve the debilitating crisis tearing the bloc apart. The 28 heads of government will meet with Pope Francis on March 24th, the day before they all gather in the Italian capital to celebrate the 60th birthday of the EU and launch its rebirth. Earlier this week, Joseph Muscat, the Prime Minister of Malta, which currently holds the rotating EU presidency, raised the prospect of consulting the Pope on which path to follow. He told delegates at a conference in Valletta that the pontiff could provide leadership that politicians miss as the bloc grapples with crises as varied as migration, terrorism, economic instability, and Brexit, you know, the Great Britain already exiting. He said, he added, and here's what that president of the EU said, quote, "I do think he, Pope Francis, is the ultimate world leader that within the circumstances has the skills and the vision to say the things that transcend the obvious and banalities we all say in politics." Published March 1st, 2017. Ready or not, the last days are coming. Amen? I mean, are we going to be extended our freedom a little bit longer? Yeah, no one knows exactly when it's going to happen, but let me tell you something. All it takes is one more natural disaster, one more natural collapse, one more 2008 for the economy to belly up or nearly belly up. But, you know, it's not about fear that motivates us. Fear only lasts about a week, maybe 10 days, and then it wears off. You know, we want to be motivated by one thing, and that's because you love Jesus. You know, I don't want to preach a sermon or a message that's about fear, but listen, it's happening, amen? And I'm excited. Who doesn't want to go home to heaven? Amen? You know, and we're going to get through because guess what? We don't have to do it ourselves. We're going to be filled. We're filling ourselves with the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit that'll help us get through, you know? And he'll take away things. And one last thing just came to my mind. You know what the great time of trouble is all about? One more little bit. And I know maybe some of you or all of you know this, but I just want to quote it. The great time of trouble is not about where we're going to live. It's not about our food. It's not about our water. The Bible says our water and food will be sure. Guess what the great time of trouble is all about? It's about whether or not our sins have all been forgiven. That's what we're worried about. Because there'll be about a week there that Jesus will stand up and put his kingly robe on, and there won't be any mediator, and we'll have to live and know that faith, and that's the struggle prior, that not knowing if all of our sins, we've asked forgiveness of Uncle Bob or my son or whatever. So clean the house now, Jesus says. Amen. Clean it now. Have your conscience clear, you know. Not saying that, you know, like Mary Magdalene, did she go out and live a perfect life? No, but she never committed adultery. She never did the, you know, being a prostitute anymore. But she lived close to Jesus, and she was being sanctified. She was the first one at the tomb. She was at the foot of the cross when they took him down, when he was nailed. You know, how many of us are willing to be there? I hope all of us. I hope myself. Because, you know, just because you've been in church for 30, doesn't give you any privileges, does it? It doesn't. Sorry. You know, Judas walked right with him for many years. It says, let me finish right after quietude, peace and quietude. Couple more sentences. It says, nothing of the world can make them sad when Jesus makes them glad by his presence. Wow, amen. Isn't that beautiful? With his presence. Remember that peace and quietude, and you have that feeling, you want to keep it, and then all of a sudden somebody calls and said, hey, I had a car accident. You know, one of my LEs was sitting at a light, and all of a sudden the truck jackknifed, and he didn't get hurt, but it busted the back end of the trunk, the back window busted, and now he's car is undrivable. And if you know anything about sales or anything about literature evangelism, their car is their livelihood. If they don't have a car, they can't go out. So the devil was working on us, brothers and sisters. He's working on you. So all I can say is make sure we do this. Nothing of the world can make them sad when Jesus makes them glad by his presence. He's got hope. He talked hope at the end of the conversation on Friday when he told me about the accident happened Thursday night. Imperfect, and forgive me, this is a tough word. Acquiescence. I looked it up. Acquiescence. Acquiescence. You know the definition. I had to look up the definition. Guess what that word means? Now, this is a third grade education person. I said, what's that word mean? Forgive me. You know, acquiescence, there is perfect rest. I looked it up. that word means to not rebuke at all, to surrender without any pushback. So when you surrender to Jesus fully, when you do it without saying, hey, you know, I got to go, you know, bury my father. You know, I've got to go do, you know, one more thing here or there. Remember he told Jesus, you know, I got to go do. No. That's not Jesus asking you. Jesus wants you to accept him wholly, and he'll take care of the rest. Amen? Amen. Well, is this just one verse that we learned so much? And then it goes on to say, one more sentence, I think, or two. It says, our lives may seem a tangle, but as we commit ourselves to the wise master worker, he will bring out the pattern of life and character that will be to his own glory. Amen? So it's not about us. Amen? It's about him. He's on trial. We're not on trial, but we try to make it about us, about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's not the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's the eternal God's message. We put a name to it, but this is his message for eternity. You know, when we worship on Sabbath, I went out Friday night and I said, wow, Lord, all your creations are worshiping on this day. They're all bowing down to you. They're all taking whatever they do and they're stopping. I wish everybody on this earth could have the same privilege that we have. Amen. Because we draw closer to our Savior because of this privilege of knowing that the Sabbath is the truth. Amen. Not saying there's not people out there. Well, let me get to the rest of my sermon real quick. And here's the rest of the people out there. Let's turn, if you want to turn, but Revelation 14, 6 to 12. We all have it memorized. There was I don't want to call it a beggar, but there was a guy on the side of the road, and he came up to my car, and I gave him a track, and he goes, oh, are you a minister? And I said, I'm a lay minister. He goes, oh, I love this scripture, and I told him about Philippians 4:13, and then we said a couple scriptures together, and then I went to this. I said, and I love the one about God's people in Revelation 14, 12. Here are the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus, you know? And he goes, before I said that, he goes, oh, I don't know Revelation. He goes, I need to get into that. Nobody studies Revelation, brothers and sisters. Why don't we encourage them with glow tracks to get into Revelation? Amen. Sorry, I'm going to break your speaker on the first day. Sorry about that. But anyway, let's just read it. If you don't mind, I'm going to read the three angels' message, because it is a precious message. And I just read Revelation 14:12. It says, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the seas and the springs of water. We know that that's the midnight cry, William Miller. Here in verse 7 says, saying with a, wait, and another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, the great city, because she had made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anybody worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So, you know, the message is there. The judgment began in 1844. He's asking us to call them out of Babylon. They're confused, brothers and sisters. And, you know, I could tell you story after story, but I was at another golf course. I don't play a lot of golf, but anyway, I was at another golf course. This was like 4 years ago, and I'll never forget. It broke my heart. I got done playing with these guys, and I went to my car, and I got them literature. Steps to Christ, I had great controversies. I gave each one like that, and he goes, oh, you're a Seventh-day Adventist? I said, yeah. And all of a sudden, they started asking me questions. Well, you don't eat pork? And I said, no. He goes, oh, you're adding to Jesus. In other words, the cross. They're once saved, always saved. It's all about grace. And I said, no. And they wouldn't let me finish. And they said, oh, you keep the Sabbath. Oh, you're doing Jesus and. And then, you know, I couldn't even answer. And the one sad thing I tell you about this experience is I went to my car to get my Bible. And guess what I didn't have in my car? I didn't have my Bible. And guess where I go everywhere I go now? And that was about 5-6 years ago. I take my Bible everywhere I go now, just in case. And I could prove them from the Bible. Hey, what's this mean right here? Anyway, long story short, at the end, I was leaving, and I said, hey, to, one of them already had to leave, so there was four of us standing there. I said, hey, why don't we have prayer? You know, we all love Jesus. Guess what he said to me? He said, no. He goes, I don't feel of one accord with you. He goes, I don't want to pray. He wouldn't let me pray with him. And I thought, wow, that's a hard feeling when you know that they love Jesus and I love Jesus, but that's going to come a day that more and more is going to happen like that. And I guess you're moving up here to tell me my time is up. I'm just teasing. Let's turn to Revelation 18:1. And we were told about publishing in 18:1. In 18:1 it says, after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. How do we know? Well, here's what it says in volume 7. And in a large degree, through our publishing houses, is to be accomplished the work of that other angel who comes down from heaven with great power, in Revelation 18:1, who lightens the earth with his glory. And you know, brothers and sisters, the reason persecution hasn't come is for only one reason. And you know what that is? And we could say all kinds of things, I agree. But it's because we are not witnessing the way we should. We're not bothering the devil. He doesn't care. No one's witnessing anything to distract or take people away from him. And so we're not rallying anyone up. But the time's coming that if we start witnessing the way we can and should while we have freedom, that's when the persecution comes. And don't you, I mean, not that I want persecution to come, but I want Jesus to come, you know, and I want to see him and we want to go home with him. I'll share with you one more experience if you don't mind. And, you know, I encourage you folks here at Aiken, if I could ask the pastor or talk to Ben and say, you know, I encourage you to do this glow tracks. And then every Sabbath or maybe every other Sabbath, have a glow track experience. Let somebody come up here and say, hey, this happened to me about glow tracks. Not that it's about literature, but it's about encouraging someone else. Hey, this happened to me, and I've never done this before, and I'm not technically a literature evangelist. So I encourage you to have that done, that you have the glow tracks, you get the glow tracks in a rack out here, and then you distribute them. You encourage each other with testimonials that'll encourage others to pick up glow tracks and take them. I was at a Bojangles. This is my last experience. I was at a Bojangles. I was headed up to train in L.E. It was early in the morning. I hadn't had breakfast. So what would I eat at Bojangles? Well, my background, real quick, I came from a Catholic background. And my testimony is my dad was a butcher. And he made whole hog sausage for 50 years. It was called Morrison sausage. So I've eaten a lot of pork in my younger days. But as of 22 years old, now that I'm 50-something, 30-some years ago, that I haven't touched pork. But before that, it was the best pork in the world, a sausage. But anyway, I came out of that, and how I came to this church was my stepmother was a former Seventh-day Adventist, and she introduced me to my ex, who unfortunately we're divorced. And I joined the church through her family. Her family was a literature evangelist, Jean Richardson, out in Missouri, Iowa, Missouri. And I remember taking Bible studies, the Sabbath. I called my Catholic priest. I called him Father at the time. I said, Father, is it true we changed the Sabbath? He goes, who's asking that? I said, it doesn't matter. I just want to know, did we change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday? He goes, well, tell me who it is. I said, you know, just tell me or I'll hang up and I'll call somebody else. And he goes, okay, I'll tell you. And what I had heard that night at the meeting, he told me almost verbatim on the phone 2 hours later. So I was like, wow, if they're telling me the truth about that, almost like it says, when we got to hellfire, here's something I didn't know I had to hang up about God with as a young Catholic, not practicing. They took the piece of paper and burned it over the sink and said, that's hellfire. You know, the sins that aren't covered by the blood of Jesus, you will burn, and then eventually the devil will burn the longest, and hellfire will go out. And I guess that eternal hellfire, I thought, man, you live here 80 years and you burn for billions of years for eternity. I didn't really like that God. But man, do I like the plan he's got set up now through the truth, amen? And those things just convinced me. And so anyway, I went to Bojangles, just to give you a little background. I didn't get any sausage on there, but I got an egg and cheese biscuit, and I got orange juice. Anyway, and the young lady standing there, and I said, hey, I had Steps to Christ at the time. And I said, hey, will you read this? I said, do you like to read? Yeah. I said, will you read this if I give it to you? She said, yeah. I said, great. I said, see ya. So I drove up the road. I don't go to Bojangles all the time. Month later, I pull up the same Bojangles. I'm training the same LE in the same spot up in Winston-Salem. And I pull up to the window and I give her my card and I'm looking down at something, my calendar, and all of a sudden the young lady reaches down in the window and goes, hey, I read that book you gave me. And I went, hey, hi. I didn't recognize her, you know. And I said, hi, how are you? Great, isn't it beautiful? I said, the love of Jesus. I said, read it over and over again. And I said, hey, I got another book for you. And I reached in the back, and guess what I gave her? I had a great controversy. And I said, here, this is a book on Revelation and Daniel. I said, you'll love it. And I've never been back again. Not that I've given up my egg and biscuits, but anyway. That's the things that will happen. Brothers and sisters, you want the area to grow. Let me tell you one last thing real quick. I was in Western Missouri when I canvassed. There was one church out there back in 1981. And today there's at least six or seven churches out there. And we had four or five LEs, not just me, but there was other LEs all in that area. It's about planting seeds, brothers and sisters. It's about planting seeds. You worry, let Jesus do the watering and worry about whether it's rocky soil or good soil. Just plant the seeds. Plant the seeds and do it in a nice way. You know, I wasn't rude to the Jehovah's Witness when he said, nah, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. You know, I wasn't happy, but I said, okay, you know, and I went to my car. But, you know, just because they reject you doesn't mean the next one will. But, let's finish with prayer, if you don't mind. I know. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this wonderful message that Jesus loves us right where we are. We don't have to change a thing. He'll take care of all of that in his due time. Thank you for sanctification, justification, Lord, with each of us. Help us to grow and just encourage each and every one in this house of God that they will just grow and be strong and stand for Jesus as we come to these last days. May the pews be filled the next time I come, and Lord, be filled with people of all walks of life. And if for some reason we don't meet again on this earth, I pray our names be written in that Lamb's Book of Life, that we'll spend eternity on the streets of gold, together worshiping you, Jesus. And we pray this in the holy and precious name of our Savior. Amen.